So the subject of this Mishnah is the Isur Karcha. And just a little word of background. The Isur Karcha is going to appear twice in the Torah, once with regard to Bnei Yisrael, and once with regard to the Kohanim. And there are discrepancies between the two places. The Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh says, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, and that's a reference to all of Klal Yisrael, not to the Kohanim. Lotus godudu velotasimu karcha beneinechem lames. There's going to be a very similar pasuk in Parshas Emor that's addressing the Kohanim, but as we go through the sugi, we'll see, Mr. Shem, certain discrepancies between the two. And the question is going to be whether there's a different Isur for Kohanim than there is for Yisrael. All right. In any event, what does it say in this pasuk? And there are two parts of this pasuk, and they generate two different Isurim, which are very closely connected. The key word in this pasuk is lames, which means this is a response to the death of a person. Back in the day when there were idol worshippers, they had some very radical, they used to impose physical injuries on themselves, self-imposed, in order to express their grief over the loss, over the death of someone. And the Torah enjoins us from doing that kind of thing and copying that kind of behavior that's singular to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, because we are Banim Lashem Elokeichem, and we can't do these kinds of things. So we have Lotus Godudu and Lotasimu Karcha Beneinechem. A Lotus Godudu means to create Chaburos in the body, to wound ourselves. That's called Lotus Godudu. And Lotasimu Karcha means to create bald spots in the head. And we'll go through this in the Mishnah very, very soon. Again, now, if we look in Parshas Emor with regard to Kohanim, the Torah in Vayikra Yutes addresses them. Lo sakifu pa'as roshechem. No, I made a mistake. This is not Kohanim. This is still Bnei Yisrael. Lo sakifu pi'as roshchem. Velo sashchis es pi'as zekanecha. So these are the two Isurim of Baltakif and Baltashchis Peah. Baltakif refers to the Peas Rosh, and Baltashchis refers to the Peas Zokon. Okay, so there's certain things that we're not allowed to do to our head, and there are certain things that we're not allowed to do to our beard. But these Isurim have nothing to do with mess. Meaning, even if you're not responding to the death of someone, those Isurim apply. And it means that you're not allowed to remove certain hairs from the sides of your head and from the beard. And the Mishnah and the Gemara is going to go through all the details. And these are the Isurim that we want to cover. So let's go one by one. So the first Isur that we have on our list is going to be Lo Tasimu Karcha Beineinechem. And again, even though it says Beineinechem, which would literally mean here, between the eyes, we're going to learn from an equation to Kohanim that the Isur Karcha applies even if it's not Beineinechem, anywhere in the head. And we're talking about ripping out hairs from the head. Okay? And again, the Pasuk says, Lo tasimu karcha beneinechem lames, and therefore in this case he's ripping hairs out of his head because of the tsar on the death of someone. And then it says va'makiv pias rosho. This is already a separate issue that has nothing to do with mess, and that, as we said before, is in Vayikra Yutes. And there he's taking out the hairs on the peos, on the two sides of his head. And we're going to see that if he violates one side of his head, then he gets one set of malchus. If he removes the peah from both sides of his head, he'll get malchus for each peah. So then, in the case of makiv, you can actually violate two sets of malchus. And later on, we're going to have a discussion about the nikaf. In other words, the person who allows himself to have his hair cut, his peah is removed. Then we have Hamashchis Pas Zekono. Here, the Mishnah uses a different term with regard, and this is following the Torah's language, with regard to Pas Zekonecha. There the Torah says, Lo Sashchis. So we're not just, We're not just talking about pulling out the hairs from your beard, but rather we're talking about using a razor to remove the hairs from your beard. That's called hashchas, and the Gemara is going to go through this in great detail. Now we go back to the beginning part of this pasuk, lo tizgodudu, which again is alames, and here the Mishnah says hasoret srita achas alames chayav. Soret means he takes his nails and he scratches himself. Well, for that matter, he takes a knife or any other utensil and he scratches and he rips the skin of his body, of his face, and he's doing this because of his grief over the death of someone. He's chayav malchus on every single srita. If he was soret one srita, he made one scratch on his body, then he's chayav one set of malchus. But for each additional srita, he's going to engender another chayav malchus. So whereas in the case of Pas HaRosh, we said the maximum number of violations to be chayav is two for each one of the payos. And in the case of Pas Zakana, we'll have to see how many different payos there are, and if he's chayav for all the payos as one, or each payos separately. In the case of Lotus Godudu, which means Srita Alames, he's chayav for every single act of Srita. Now, of course, when you talk about every single act of Srita, you're going to have Hasra between each Srita, or shall we say preceding the next Srita. So, for example, if he cuts himself in five different places, he wounds himself five times, but there was only one Asra, then the maximum number of Malkus he can get is only one set. But if on the other hand there was Asra in each Srita individually engenders a separate Chi of Malkus. The Mishnah continues, Sarat Srita Achas Al Chamisha Mesim. One Srita could engender five different Malkios. If the Srita is an expression of Avelus for five different people who died, O Chamesh Sritos Al Meis Echad, or if he repeats the Srita five times to express his grief over the dead, Chayav Al Kol Achas V'Achas. For each Srita, he's going to get Malkus. So in the case of Chamisha Mesim, he only did one Srita, he gets five Malkus. In the case of one mess, but he was sorates five sritos, he gets five sets of malchus. And the Gemara is going to derive this all from psukim. Al harosh, now we get back to hakofas harosh. Shtayim, he can be chayav two sets of malchus. Achas, one for this payah, on the right side of his head. And mikan, on the right side of his head. Viachas mikan, on the left side of his head. And obviously, if he only removed one of his payos, then he's chayav only one malchus. Al hazaken, but with regard to hashchasas hazaken, he could be chayav all told five sets of malchus, because there are five different parts of the beard which are included each one separately in the iser of hashchasas hazaken. Shtayim mikan. There are two that are high up on the beard, like right below the sideburns around there. You'll feel like a bone over there, or two bones. And then there are two lower below them that are coming close to the chin. That's shtayim mikan, the achas milamat, and one on the chin itself. So remind me, Chevra, if we have time at the end of the shiur, I want to show you three diagrams that I have here in the Masifta. There are three different shitos as to where these five peos kanim are located. In any event, you're chayav malchus for each one of these five peos, and therefore you can be chayav if you take them for all five peos. The maximum is five. Five sets of malchus. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im nitlu kulon ke'achas. If, let's say, he takes all five of them off continuously, without a hefsek between them, eino chayav el achas. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't see them as separate acts, as a mais haver on each payah, that would engender its own set of malchus, but rather he sees all the payahs as integrated into one action. And the Rambam and others say that Rabbi Eliezer would be modeh that if it wasn't ke'achas, right, if you take a look, he adds the word nitlu kulam ka'achas. If, for example, he would be mafsik, he would separate and interrupt himself between each payah in such a way that he had asra separating each payah, then even Rabbi Eliezer would be mode that he's chayef for each hakafa, each hashchas of each pair. Rabbi Eliezer is only talking, addressing the case of nitlu kulon kiachas, which means bevasachas, in one continuous action he removed all five of his payos. Whereas the Chachamim say that each payos is a separate action, and they're going to derive that from a pasuk, therefore yichayev malchus for each one. However, Rabbi Eliezer says no, all the payos integrate into one, unless he does it in separate hafsachos. Then the Mishnah says, and this is true for everybody, that with regard to hashchasa zakon, eino chayev ad shiyitledu bitar. In other words, with regard to hashchasa zakon, we need an act of giluach. That's called hashchasa. And that means he's got to remove the hair from the skin itself. So for example, if he plucks out hairs from it, or he cuts off hairs with the scissors, that's not going to be hashchasa, because he needs a tar. A tar means when he takes a razor and he puts it all the way up to his face. Of course, this is going to engender the whole debate about shaving, you know, shaving machines, because some of those shavers actually have the, you know, this, you know, the, what's it called, the brawn shaver, is that what it's called? You know, it's got a lift and cut.
Right.
So actually, this, it's a very sophisticated mechanism where it lifts up the hair and cuts it right down with a razor. So that's going to be a problem. So today you can get ashgacha on a shaver. And then we have Rabbi Eliezer again argues, but in a different argument. He says, "Afilu likton b'malkeit oberehitni chayav." Rabbi Eliezer holds that the concept of hashchasa is not just limited to a razor, but it expands its scope to include even a malkeit. Malkeit, he calls him malka chayim, which is like a tweezers, and he's able to rip out the seir from his face with these tweezers. And Rehitni calls a matzeit. A matzeit is that thing, I don't know what it's called in English. You know that flat thing that they use like to, you know, to smoothen out the walls so that you can paint them? What's it called? A schleirach or something like that? So that also can remove the hairs from the skin. A shpachtel, right? Something like a shpachtel. That's called in Hebrew matzeit. Mem ayin tzadi dalet. Okay, now we go straight to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to introduce the pasuk which addresses Kohanim. And there it says, Lo Yikrechu. And guess what? There's no mention in the Isur Karcha to Kohanim anything about the mess. We started with the pasuk in Dvarim Yudalit, and there it says, Lo Siskodu, Lo Sasimu Karcha Meinechem, Lo Mess. In the parsha of Kohanim, in Vayikrech Aleph, there's no mention of mess. And not only that, there's an extra word here in this pasuk in Kohanim. It says, Lo yikrechu karcha. And the word karcha is superfluous. So the Brisa says the following, what is the word karcha coming to teach us? Yochal, I might think, afilu karach arba v'chamesh krichos. I don't know why he has to mention four, once he mentions five. But anyway, even if he makes five different bald spots, all because he's mitztar al ames, you might think lo yechayv el achas. This is considered one act of balding his head of kricha, and therefore he's only chayv one set of malchus. Talmud Lomer, the pasuk says lo yikrichu karcha. The extra word karcha is coming to tell you lechayv al kol karcha v'karcha, and you chayv therefore five different sets of malchus, because you created five different bald spots. And we'll have to see if we can, by analogy, equate this halacha of Kohanim and apply it to Yisraelim. Back in the parsha in Devarim Yudalid, which doesn't have that extra word karcha, there it just says lo tasimu karcha. It doesn't say lo yikrichu karcha. Not only that, there's another extra word in the Poskin Kohen in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, and that is the word Rosham. It says, Lo Yikrechu Karcha Bir Rosham. And that too is an extra word, Bir Rosham. For Rosha Matam Lo, was he coming to teach us? Lefish and Nemar in Yisrael, it says, Lotus Godu Lotusimu Karcha Beni Nechem Lames, Yachalo Yehechaev Ella Al Bein Ha'einayim. There are certain hairs that grow exactly parallel to above the eyes. You know, you draw a straight line to the forehead above the eyes, and you're only chai for that part of the head. Bilvat, minayin l'rabos kol arosh. What about the rest of the head that's not keneged bein ha'inayim? And the Gemara says that's the word berosham l'rabos kol harosh, any part of the head. And again, all these ribuyim, for each karcha you chai for a separate set of malchus, and you chai for karcha anywhere in the head. It's all based on the extra words in the pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Aleph that addresses Kohanim. So now the Brisa says, Eli Ela B'Kohanim. Maybe the Torah is more makpid on Kohanim. We have so many Surim that apply to Kohanim that don't apply to Yisraelim. Right? A Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha, a Kohen's not allowed to be Metami Lemesim. So maybe the Torah was more machmir with regard to Kohanim in the Yisra Karcha. So the Brisa asks, Sheribo Behen HaKosim Mitzvah Yisraelos, because we have special mitzvahs that apply to a Kohen. And furthermore, Yisrael Minayin, how do we know that a Yisrael is also Chayav for Karcha, for each Karcha, and he's Chayav anywhere in his head? And the Gemara has a Gzeres Shava. Nemar Kan, it says with regard to Yisrael Karcha. Nemar Lahalim Kohenim, it also says Karcha. Ma Lahalim, just like in the case of Kohen, he's Chayav Al kol karcha v'karcha v'chayev al harosh kibein ha'inayim, anywhere in the head, afkan chayev here too in Israel. He's chayev al kol karcha v'karcha v'chayev al harosh kibein ha'inayim. Now, in this context, we are learning deriving two chumras in the Yisrael lav of karcha from Kohanim to Yisraelim. Are there any chumras that go in the opposite direction? That this gzeres shavah is called mufta, means it goes in both directions, and we're going to derive a chumra from Yisrael to Kohen. So the Gemara, the Brisa says, malahal in Yisrael, it says, al mes, that you're only chayef, because you express your grief on the bereavement for the dead, afkan here to in Kohenim, even though in Kohenim it doesn't say a word about mes. Nevertheless, you're chayv al mes. How are you? So the truth is that. What do you say?
Come on, if you get a chair.
Yeah. You want to take a chair? Whatever you like.
Still, it seems. Like, I get that there's a gezeira shavah, and that's the way the Gemara looks at it. But like, you look at the psukim, it's talking about Kohanim. So, even so, you'd have to answer the question of, well, what? But why would the Torah put it inside the laws of the Kohanim?
Like, so, Jordan, that's an excellent question which has to be addressed. I don't know if I have the answer for you, but I want to ask a different question. Why would we have thought that the Isur Karcha is dafka, that part of the head that corresponds to Bein Ha'inayim? And the answer is because the Torah says, lo sasimu karcha bein einechem. So isn't it odd that the Torah would add the two words bein einechem just to trip me up and lead me to mislead me to believe that it's only keneged bein einechem, and then the Torah in Kohanim is going to leave out the bein einecha. You know, Dalviach, you just leave out bein einecha. So that question I did see that somebody addresses, and that's based on a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin actually asks the question where we should put at tefillin shel rosh, because the Torah says bein einecha, and the Gemara says that the bein einecha in tefillin is the same as the bein einecha here in karcha, and just like in karcha, based on the gzeres shavah to kohen, we derive that it's anywhere on the forehead, not on the, what is this called in English? A metzach in Hebrew.
Forehead.
So, I made a mistake. So, what I meant to say, it's just like in Kohanim, it's anywhere above the forehead, on the head, and it's not to be taken literally between the eyes. And by the way, you know that the tzedukim wore that tefillin between the eyes. Yeah? If you go to you know on the way to on the what's on the old city I was going to say on the way to Yam HaMelech.
There's also one in the old city in the Rov Yehudit.
What's it called?
I don't remember.
What, the carrots?
It's on the right. Yeah.
The old carrots. It's destroyed. It's like a ruin.
It's a ruin? I thought there were still people there.
In any event, there's one of the archaeological digs on the way, when you first make the turn, you know, past Yericho to Yam HaMelech, Qumran, exactly. They show you a film over there of the sect that lived in Qumran. They're very interesting. And in the film, again, I'm not saying that the film is reliable, if you look carefully, you'll see that the tefillin are hanging right here between the eyes, which led me to believe, and I sort of checked this out a little bit from a guy named Lehman, I don't know if you know him, he's a historian, that sect was very, very close to the Tzdukim. In any event, that's the answer to that question. Now, as far as your question, Jonathan, why Dafka in the Parsha of Kohanim?
Well, it's a similar question. Like, why put it in the Parsha of Kohanim
and then
have a Gezer Shav? It's like, oh, but it doesn't refer to Kohanim. And like, you look at the Pesukim, it's like, right. The one before it says, don't be Tamei Mace, and the one after it says something else about Kohanim. It's not like...
Right.
It's like this little one that's...
It could be that the Torah wants to tell you that in the case of Kohanim, the Aver is more severe. Not as a halachic statement, but more as a hashkafic statement. Meaning, Kedushas Kuna engenders a chumrah. La halacha, those chumras are going to be transferred through the Gzeres Shom. But you're right, I mean, that question certainly has to be addressed. Okay, let's see where we're up to. Hani arba v'chamesh krichos, hechi domi. When the Brisa says that you're chayev on each one of these four or five krichos, these bald spots that you create, what exactly is the case? And the Gemara goes through a number of different possible scenarios. Elam, if we assume bazechar zeh ubechamesh hasros, he did each karcha separately, and he interrupted, and there was asra between each one. It's like the case of a person who eats chaylev five times, and he gets asra before every kezayis of chaylev. He's chayev five. Pshita, I don't need a special yalfusa because of the extra word karcha to establish that he gets malchus chalukos on each one of the karchas. He did the maisa, he did the avera over and over again, time and time again, repeatedly, and there was a hasra for each one. Ella, but by process of elimination, you're going to have to say it's bechada hasra. There was one hasra to tell him not to violate the Easter of Karcha. And he made five krichos, meaning each one is separate, there's hair between each one. Is mima chayev? In such a case, why should it be chayev? Vasnan, we have a Mishnah. This is the very next Mishnah we hope to get to tonight. Nazir shayashose yayin kol ayom. He continuously drinks wine, non-stop, continuously. Eino chayev elachas. It's only when he stops, he gets Asra and he drinks another Revius Yayin, that's when he gets a separate set of Malkus. And that's when the Mishnah says, Omrlo al tishta al tishta vushosa. In other words, if he drinks a Revius after each Hasra, then and only then Chayav al kol achas v'achas. So why here should one Hasra engender five sets of Malkus in the case of Karcha? Why should it be any different than the case of Nazir? Lo tzricha, the Gemara says, why is he Chayav on each one of these five karchos, a separate set of malchus, even though there was only one hasra? The Gemara says, "Disach chamesh etzba osav." He dips his five fingers into something called nasha. Nasha, he says, is a sam, right? It's some sort of chemical substance that removes hair. Right, you can buy this in the Nair, stores today. Yeah. Nair, what's called Nair?
Yeah, yeah.
Is Nair a company name or it's whatever? And then Osvinu, meaning after his fingers, his five fingers are saturated with this nasha, then in one fell swoop he puts it on five different spots, balding each one of them down to the skin. And Havilei Hasra L'Kol Chada V'Chada, the Hasra now relates to each one of the Karchas. Now, the Gemara thought in the Havamina that he continues his Karcha as a continuous action going from one side of his head to the other. And the Gemara says, why should it be Chayev when it's all one action? It's no different than a Nazir who drinks a large volume of wine continuously with one Asroi. You can only get one set of Malkus. Here, with one Asroi, you inject this five sets of Malkus because there are five different actions, meaning each one of his etz, if kol achat mitzvotav, is a separate Maisa Karcha.
That, if you were to give a different example, like, you know, there's like a sack of rice, right, and someone wants to steal all the rice, or like golden marbles, whatever it is.
Right.
So you saw him like you know, if you steal, you're gonna get malchus. Let's just say. And then he reaches out with his hand, and with his one hand, he can grab five marbles.
Right.
He can get a separate.
Right, but I think a parallel case would be, I don't know, in marbles, which, let's say he had some sort of magnetic, you know, field on each one of his fingers, and he would sink it in, and you know, each one of his fingers would suck up one of these marbles. You know, that would be something to talk about.
Okay.
But keep in mind that this halacha is derived from an extra pasuk. It says karcha l'chayv al kol achas v'achas. So I don't know that we can universalize this. Conceptually we can universally, but I don't know if halacha l'maisa, meaning conceptually, if you can do five different actions with each of your respectively each of your five fingers, you should be chayv with one asra for all these actions, because each one is a separate maisa. Okay. Now the Gemara wants to know, v'kama, how much do you have to take off of your head in order to violate the Isur Lav of Karcha b'chayv Malkus? Shir, what's the amount, the volume that you have to do of Karcha to constitute Karcha and Chayv Malkus? And here we have Machlokas Amoraim and then a Machlokas Tanoim. Rav Huna Omer, Kedeshi Yirshe Yeroe Mirosho. In other words, as long as there's a bald spot on his head, it has no hair on it. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Mishum Rabbi Lozab Rabbi Shimon Kigris. Now, how much is a gris? A gris is a famous shear in Masechta Nagoyim, meaning in Tumah Vitara. For example, you know, certain particles that are metame are only metame if they have kigris. Kigris is the size of six shuros times six shuros of searos, means six squared, which would be 36 hairs. That's a much larger shear, and if it's a kula, than the shear of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says as long as there's a bald spot on his head, doesn't matter how many hairs you took off. And the Gemara says, Kitanoi, that this is really an old machlokas that predates Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Kama shir, we learned in a brisa, what is the shir to be chayav for karcha? Kigris, the Tanakhama says kigris, reflecting the sheet that we saw in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Cherem omer, others say kidei, sheira meirosho, and that reflects what we saw in Rav Huna. Now the Gemara says there's another machlokas, another, it's a third sheeta. This brisa that we saw only has two sheetas. It doesn't record the third sheeta.
This is only if you're purposely doing it, right? If
yeah, and not only that, you're doing it because somebody died. Omar Rav Huna Bar Chaviva Pligi Ba Tlosa Tanoi. There are actually three different sheetas. Chad Omer, according to one opinion, Kigris. Chad Omer, Kidei Sheira Mirosh. So these are the two opinions we've seen. The Chad Omer is the third sheeta, Kishtei Saros. Interesting. Throughout the Torah, there's a shear called Shtei Saros. And we never thought of equating karcha, which is a bald spot, with shtei saros. The third shita says that's exactly what we should do. I think the third shita is shifting the emphasis from the head and what's left as a result of the maisa to the maisa itself. You know, the Torah doesn't want you to be koreach karcha. So the act of kricha means the act of removing two saros. Now, This version that's quoted by Rav Huna, excuse me, by Rabbi Yehuda, has another version to it with regard to the third shita. Ve'ika demapik shtei saros. There's one version that removes the formulation of the third shita of shtei saros. Uma'ayel, and puts in its place ke'adasha. Now, Kadash is also a shear that's derived from Tumah V'Tahara, and that's the shear of two shuros of two saros. So it means four saros, two times two. So there are the following possibilities. Either just a bald spot, or 36 saros, that's called kigris. And now we have a third shita, which is either shtei saros, or if you hold kadasha, four saros.
Is that the space of four, or physically removing four?
Physically removing four.
In one shot?
I don't know about that. I mean, okay. What do you mean? Let's say he...
In Asra,
you need tochidei divur, so you're right, to some extent, it's got to be...
Like, you can pick one at a time.
Yeah. You know, it's got to be continuous. Let's say if on Sunday he removes one hair and on Monday he removes the second hair, he's not going to be chayv malchus. And the Gemara says, v'simonech means, don't get confused here, and replace kigris with kadasha, that you shouldn't do. And he gives you a memory device. He says in the Mishnah in the Goyim, it says, baheres kigris u'michya Kadasha. These are two different types of tzaras in Nigei Adam, and one is Kigris and one is Kadasha. Vaheris is Kadasha, Kigris, and Michya is Kadasha. So you see, we have both of these shirim. So if you substitute for the third sheet to Kadasha, it doesn't mean you're taking away Kigris and removing and replacing it with Kadasha. Kigris and Kadasha always go together, and you have to know that what you're replacing is the Shtei Saros. Tana, we learned in a brisa, hanotel melo pi hazug b'shabes chayv. The Gemara now embarks on a compare and contrast between moleches gozes on Shabbos, which means netilas sear, which is classically done in the case of shearing the wool off the back of a sheep, but it could also be taking hairs out of a human body. And how much is the shear which engenders a chiyuv chatos in the case of meleches gozes? It's called melo pi hazug. Okay, and what is that shear? Vakama melo pi hazug. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Shtei, meaning shtei saros. So at least in Shabbos, we definitely have that third shita that we had in Karcha of shtei saros. If you remove two saros on Shabbos, you chayuv chatos b'shogeg for violating Shabbos. And that's called mole piazug. And this shear of mole piazug is famous not only in Shabbos, but also in Paraduma. Because a Paraduma has to have all red hairs, with the exception of two black hairs. That's called kemole piazug. And once it has kemole piazug of black hairs, it's possible for Paraduma.
Two black or two non-red? Two.
I think it has to be black, if I'm not mistaken. If I remember the sugi, the Mishnayis in Parah. You know, somebody claims in New Jersey they have a Parah Duma. You read about that?
Yeah.
Vasanya. But the Brisa says, Lekarcha Shtayim. The Brisa seems to single out Karcha, and Karcha only is Chayef for Shtei Saros, implying that in Shabbos there's a different shear. Ema, what we should say is, Vechein Lekarcha. We have to add another word. Instead of saying Lekarcha as a contrast, Shtayim, that just like in Shabbos Yechayev and Melechus Gozes for Shtei Saros, so too in Karcha Yechayev for removing two Saros. And this price would reflect that third Shita in the first version of the Tanoim. Tanya Nami Hochi, Hanotel Melopia Zug B'Shabbos Chayev. V'kama Melopia Zug Shtayim. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Achas. Even if you remove one sear, that itself is considered gziza. Meaning, we hold like the chachamim, and that's what's familiar to us, that one sear is not chashuv. And this you find over and over again in Melechus Shabbos. Like, for example, ksiva, you chayv only if you write a minimum of two osios. Otherwise, it's not chashuv enough. You did all. But Rabbi Eliezer says that in the case of gozes, removing a hair, even one hair is considered significant. Umodim chachom rabbos, and there is a circumstance in which even the chachom agree that one sayer generates a chiv misa, a chiv b'chol shah. B'malaki levanos mitok shchoros. So Baruch Hashem, you guys are not old enough to really feel this, you know. But when you get to my age, and well, actually much earlier than me, you know, you begin to get very nervous about your white hairs. I have Talmidim who are in the early 40s who claim that they're already getting white. And you know, especially vis-a-vis your wife and your neighbors and so forth, your society, you're very uncomfortable about the white hairs. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you go to the sapar, to the barber, you tell him, don't remove any black hairs, just remove the white hairs. And that's a serious problem, especially on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, if you remove one white hair amongst the black hairs, then even the Chachamim agree that afilu achas hu chayv hischayv achatos. Why? Because now there's a chashivus. This is what we call beleches machshavas hospital. You gave chashivus to the removal of one hair. So although Rabbi Eliezer has this as a universal principle, and he says, anytime on Shabbos you're chayv from removing one hair, that far we don't go, but certainly with regard to a levana mitok shchoros, we agree that you're chayv from beleches gozes by removing one single hair. And then the Brisa tells us, "V'dover zafilu b'chol osur," has nothing to do with Shabbos. Even during the weekday, you go to your local barber and you ask him to remove the white hair. You're not allowed to do so. Mishum shenemar, the Torah says, "Lo yilbash gever simlas isha," which means that a man should be proud of his white hairs, I guess. But it's a woman who has to get rid of her white hairs.
Is this halacha l'maisa?
And this is halacha l'maisa, but the commentaries are medayik in the lashon of the Gemara. It doesn't say that he's chayav for such a thing. It says mishum shenemar. Mishum shenemar sounds like an isur d'rabbanan with an asmachta from the pasuk. It's not technically an act of wearing a female's garment, but it is a female kind of cosmetic act. Women want to remove their white hairs. Men are able to tolerate that white hair. Did you ever hear the famous phrase "Kerech mikan mikan"? You never heard that? Anyway, there's a phrase in Chazal, and they use it even in the modern state of Israel. "Kerech mikan mikan." The Gemara tells a story about a man who was married to two wives, and he started getting white hairs. So what happened is one of his wives started removing white hairs and the other started removing white hairs, and at the end he became Kerech Mikan and Mikan. He was ultimately bald. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the Gemara tells a different story. Maybe I'm not remembering the story. Oh yeah. He married two women, and one was old and one was young. So the young one wanted to get rid of his white hairs, and the older one wanted to get rid of his black hairs so that he would look, you know, she would look okay with him. So at the end, he was Kerech Mikan Mikan. I think that was the story. In any event, there's a long discussion here in the poskim about removing hairs on Shabbos. We have a principle in Hilchos Shabbos called Melacha Sheinatzricha L'Gufa, which is a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, or Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We pass like Rabbi Shimon, except for the Rambam Shita, that Melacha Sheinatzricha L'Gufa is potter. In the case of removing hairs, so as I said, the classical case, the av malach, if you will, of gziza is when you remove the wool off the back of the sheep. What are you doing with that wool? You're using it, right? You're selling it, whatever you're weaving it, whatever you're doing with it. So what you need, the tzricha l'gufa, this malach, is the se'ar that you're removing. That's meaningful for you, beneficial. But here in this case, he's removing hair because he doesn't want the hair on his head. And basically, he's not taking, the cheftz of his malach is not the se'ar. He just wants to get rid of the se'ar. The cheftz of the malach is his face, his head, whatever it is. So that should be a classical malach ha'shein etzrich l'gufa. And here we have the shita of the Rif and the Ramban and others, that malach ha'gozes is not L'shem ha'saros, el l'shem ha'chlokas ha'or. That what they did in the Mishkan is they used to skin the animals and use its hides, and as long as the hides have hair on them, they're not usable. So they would take off the hairs in order to end up with a smooth surface. Then the cheftz of the malach is the or rather than the gzizas ha'seor. It's not the seor but the or. And that would really shed an important light on our sugya, where he's removing hairs, not because he's using the hairs, but because he wants to be without the hairs, and he'd be chayev as a malach ha'tzricha l'gufa according to the understanding of the Rif and the Ramban. Vaita, we go back to the Mishnah. And now we talk not about karcha, which is al-meso, but rather the iser makif pi'as rosha. And we say that there are two peos. Where are these two peos located? Tana Rabbanan, pi'as rosho, sof rosho. Towards the end of his head, Eza Sofrosho, What does it mean that he removed his peos at the end of his head? Zeha mashve tzedav liachore ozno ulepadachto. Basically, what it means, tzedav means the sides of his head. In the sides of the head, there's hair, correct? But there are two spots that have no hair, and one spot is behind the ear, right? There's no hair behind the ear, and one spot is the forehead. Now, if you would draw a straight line from your forehead to the side of your ear, you're going to cross over an island of hair. If you remove all that hair, then you are being mashve, you're so to speak creating a straight line of baldness from behind your ear all the way up to the padachas. Padachas means the forehead. That's the violation of Pa'as Rosh. Showing you can do it in two sides, and therefore each side, each peah, engenders its own violation of the law of Lo Sakifu Pi'as Rosho. And he's got to remove all the hair that separates between behind his ear and his forehead, and that's called Hakofas HaRosh. Tani Tanakabe de Rav Chizda, one of the Amoraim brought a brisa in front of Rav Chizda, and the brisa says, Echad HaMakif V'Echad HaNikaf Loker. Not only is the barber in violation of doing the Hakofa, but even the Nikaf, the victim who's being barbered, who's having his hair cut, he too gets Malkus. Amalais Rav Chizda said to this Amora, who told this brisa, he says, Mandi ochel tamre bi arbela lucky? Are you going to give Malkus? Let's say Reuven has a sifter, a sieve. And what he does is, he takes tamarim. No, I'm sorry. A kavra is not a sieve. I think arbelate means some sort of utensil that you use to harvest these dates from the tree. So you cut it off, and now Shimon comes along and he eats the tamarim. Reuven was the one who did the malacha, and Shimon eats the tamarim. Are you going to give Shimon Malkus? Here too, in the Nimshal, the Nikaf didn't do anything. He's just sitting there passively getting his hair cut. Why should he engender a chiv Malkus? And this is a classical case of what we call a lav she'ein bo Maisa. The Amar Lach, the answer to this question is Mani, who's the author of this Brisa that even the Nikaf gets Malkus? Rabbi Yehudi, the Amar Lav Shemo Maisa Lokanov. We had a whole sugi about Rabbi Yehuda. Rava says, you know what? I don't have to attribute the authorship of this Brisa to Rabbi Yehuda. Even the Chachamim could agree that a Nikaf under certain circumstances would engender Malkus. And what is that? B'makif li'atzmo. If a man cuts off his own peos, he's chayev twice. Once is makif and one is a nikaf. But now he's an active nikaf. This is a pel of a sug, you know?
That's still a little bit basic. The barber. Isn't there about, like, you know, shaliach, I guess, I asked the barber to cut off my peos?
Yeah.
So what are you asking? When I go to the barber,
here, please,
maybe I'm actively I'm an active nikaf insofar as he is my shliach, you mean?
Yes, you what you want.
So this, I don't know, you're getting into a heavy sugi in Bava Metzia called Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. But be that as it may, what I think is the peli of Rav, and I still can't totally digest this, is that Rav is holding that there are two averas, and each one engenders a chiv malchus. And each one is potentially a maisa vera for a chiv malchus. One is a lav on the makif, another is a lav on the nikaf. I mean, I don't know exactly how he sees this in the pasuk. The Torah says, Lo sakifu pias roshechem, which is addressing the person who's cutting it off. He, Rav, on the other hand, sees it as a separate category, a separate lav on the nikaf, having his hair cut. How does he know that?
Maybe it's saying Roshefem. So it's like you, as the person getting the haircut, make sure your hair is not being, like, it's like a make sure it's not happening to you, and don't do it to other people.
Okay. Or maybe from the plural of the word Lo Sakifu? I don't know. Rav Ashi has this, I think, a greater chiddush, but at least it's more logical. And that is b'mesayeah. You know, when you go to the barber, he asks you to bend. Some barbers won't even ask you. They just twist your neck around, you know. And if you have a sore neck, you know, if you don't have a sore neck, you'll have a sore neck by the time you get out of the barbershop. But V'divrei HaKol, says Rav Ashi, if your problem is a lav shein bo maisa, then since the nikaf moves his head around to facilitate the act of hakof on behalf of the makif, he's chayav for that. So here there's a kasha from Rav Kivega. Rav Kivega asked the following question. He says, I don't understand. Just because he moved his head around, he asks the following question. Let's say his head was covered with a turban, and he removes his turban so that now the makif could cut his hair. Is he going to be chayav for that? Meaning, the act of moving your head this way or that way is only only meant to facilitate the act of hakafah, but it doesn't make him into a kumvasei on hakafah. He's only helping and setting up the hakafah, but he's not actively part of the hakafah. So the Chazon Ish claims that when a person moves his head in order to facilitate the hakafah, is nechshav ki'ilu machziko biyado. It's as if he's taking the makif, the barber, by his hand and actually cutting off his hair. Why? She'im yir pe'enu ka'es, if let's say he's holding on to the barber's hand and he all of a sudden he lets go, then I'm not sure how to read this actually. Let me just try it again. Next up, kilu machziko b'dot she'im yir pe'enu ka'es lo yishoyer la'amod el yisrachik mehatar. Oh, I think he's saying if he loosens his head instead of tightening it in that direction, then the makif will not be close enough to cut off his peah. Okay. Let's go on now in the Gemara. Hamashkis pas zekano. Now we get to the other lav that says Pa'asakonechalo Sashkisu Tanrabana Pa'asakono Sof Zakono. At the end of his beard, the Azi Sof Zakono Shiboles Zakono. Now this I don't understand exactly. Shiboles is a, what's it called in English? A sheaf?
Like on a piece of wheat?
Yeah, a piece of wheat.
Okay.
How do you call it? A kernel? I don't know what it's called. If we could disturb Jonathan, maybe he has an English translation? How does he translate the word shibolus? Because here in the commentary it says that there are five parts of the beard, and the hair on those five parts form a shape which is similar to a shibolus. You have it?
I have it in the commentary.
Yeah, take a look in the commentary. It's number chavav, I think it is. No. Sorry. Number chav zayin. You have it? It's next to the last on the page. He says, Nikroim shibolus. Machmas shuras haseir, there's a line of hair sheyesham in those five places. Vidome ktsas l'shibolus. I don't know what that means. I wish I had a picture of that. But in any event, these are the five points of paas zekano, and we'll come back to this in Mitzvah later. Hamisorei tzrita achas, and this is again al meso. He's chayev for one srita. Tanu Rabbanan viseret. The pasuk says in Vayikra Yutes viseret lenefesh lo sitnu bibsarchem yochal afilu sarat al beso shenofal. What happens if he's in grief because his house collapsed? Al svinos shetoviyom, his yacht went down to the bottom of the sea. Talmud Lomar, it says viseret lo nefesh. Lo nefesh means because of the death of a nefesh, enu chayev ella al hames bilvad.
It says here the pointed end of the beard.
But what does the word shibolus mean?
It says pointed.
Shibolus means pointed.
That's what it says here.
Oh, I thought it meant a sheaf. Okay. Uminayin lemisareit chamesh sritos al mes echad shu chayev. How do we know he's chayev five sets of malkis for five sritos? Talmud Lomar viseret. Viseret is an extra word, or at least the vav of viseret is extra. L'chayv al kol srita u srita. Rabbi Yossi Omer Minayin Lemisorei Tzrita Achas Al Chamesha Mesim Shu Chayav Al Kol Achas V'Achas. Here's a case where he incurs 5 tzitzmakas for one act of scraping himself.
But for 5 people.
But he did it for 5 different mesim. Is therefore Talmud Lomar Lo Nefesh. L'chayv al kol nefesh v'nefesh. Now the Gemara asks a question on Rabbi Yossi for our fig day. We already need that possible of nefesh, as we saw earlier, to exclude a case where somebody cuts himself as an act of bereavement over his financial loss. And the Gemara assumes Rabbi Yossi would not disagree with that. So now we're up to Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Kasav Rabbi Yossi holds Srita when it says Viseret Lenofish Lo Sitnu is Gedida. It's identical with a different pasuk. You see, the pasuk of Seret Lenefesh Lo Sitnu is in Vayikra Yutes Parshas Kedoshim. The pasuk of Lo Sisgodidu of Gedida is in Parshas Re'eh and Sefer Dvarim. Is Achasi. These are synonymous terms. Srita equals Gedida.
What does Gedida mean? I mean,
Gedida means, according to Rabbi Yossi, scratching yourself with your hand, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the same thing as Srita. That's not the classical understanding of Gedida. Usually Gedida means you cut yourself with a utensil. Mm. But Rabbi Yossi equates Gedida with Srita. Uksiv Hasam, and there in the parsha of Gedida Lo Sitzkodidu, it says Lames. And therefore we already know that it's Dafka, an act of bereavement because of the dead, to the exclusion of Beis HaNafal Sfinos Shetom Eliyam. Therefore the word Lanefesh remains superfluous, and I can derive from that the conclusion that Yechayev for every Nefesh, meaning one Srita for five deceased. However, that opinion of Rabbi Yossi to equate Srita with Gedida is not universally accepted. And Omar Shmuel Hamesarei Bekli Chayev. Shmuel seems to reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yossi that Chayev means you're Chayev two Malkios, meaning that since you use the Kli, you're Chayev. It doesn't have to be Rabbi Yossi. It could be even if you disagree with Rabbi Yossi, but every time you use a Kli, that's also a Srita. And it's also a Gedida. So you violate two different lavim, Seret Lanefesh Lo Sitnu and Lo Tiskodidu. Meisvei, Akash on Shmuel from a Braisa, Srita u Gedida Achasi. They both mean wounding yourself. Elisha Srita Biyad u Gedida Bikli. So this seems to reflect another Shita, not the Shita of Rabbi Yossi that we saw earlier that identifies Srita and Gedida, but rather Shita the Chachamim that Srita is Biyad, when you scratch yourself with your nails, and Gedida is when you use a knife or some other Kli. Who, the Gemara answers, don't worry about Shmuel, the Amak Rabbi Yossi. He equates Srita and Gedida, and therefore, in the case where he was Soreit Bekli, he violates two different lavim. The lav of Gedida, that's for sure. Everybody agrees that, because he did it with a Kli. But he also at the same time violates the lav of Srita Viseret Lenefesh Lo Sitnu, because according to Rabbi Yossi, Srita is with a Kli. So when he uses a Kli, he violates Srita. The Chachamim would say that if you wound yourself a la mess with a Kli, then you only get one set of Malkus insofar as you violated the Isur Gedida, but that's not an act of Srita. Srita is Biyad. Tani Tana Kami to Rabbi Yochanan, there was an Amora who brought a Brisa from Rabbi Yochanan about Srita Bibsaro Almes Bein Biyad Bein Bikli Chayov. That in the case of Srita Almes, he's Chayov whether he does it with his Yad or whether he does it with his Kli. But in the case al avodas kochavim, the idol worshippers used to have this form of worship to a god, to their gods, and they used to wound themselves. I mean, they did much, much worse things. They took children lemolach, as you know. Mm-hmm. But in any event, what happens if he does it biyad? Then he's chayav. But if he wounds himself for kli, again, as part of idol worship, he's potter. That's very strange. What are you telling me, that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah don't use a knife? V'ibcha ksiv, the pasuk itself testifies in Malachim Aleph, Vayizgodedu kimishpatam becharovos uberamachim. They use various types of spears and knives to cut into their body as part of the worship of idols. Ela'ema, we have to switch it around. What Rabbi Yochanan meant to say, I mean, the version is incorrect, that biyadi's potter, because that's not the way they worship the idols, bikli chayav. Then the Mishnah says, chayav ala rosh, if he takes both peos on both sides of his head, he's chayav shtayim. Mechvei Rav Sheshes pointed to his head, bein pirkei resha, and he demonstrated where these peos were. You know, he probably went like this, right, to both sets of peos. Okay, these peos. The alazokon shtaymikan v'achas milmata machvir sheshes bein pirkei dikna. Rav Sheshes pointed to the prokim of the various bones in the beard, right? If you put your fingers here, like at the end of your sideburns, each one of both sides, you get two different pirkei atzamos. And then if you go a little bit lower down, this is called the lechi, or the lechi atachton, the jawbone. Again, you'll find two different points on the different sides of your face. And finally, one in the middle, which is called the shibolas hazokin, which now we understand means the point, the end point, which is the chin. So there are five different points in which you're chayav for the hashchas hazokin, and therefore you could be chayav five different malkios if you remove all five of these with hashchasa.
In one shot or in separate?
Again, it would have to depend on the hasros. You know, he would have to have a hasra
for each one.
Rabbi Lezer Omer in Nitolon, if they weren't separated by a hasra, then he's only chayav one because it was a continuous act. Kosovar chad lavu. Ah, so Aaron, I stand corrected. The Chachamim that we learned before, and you asked me, was it continuous? The answer is yes, it was continuous. And yet he's going to be chayav five sets of malkas for one Asra, even though there was no interruption with Asra in between, because there are five separate lavin. Each one of the pi'as hazokin per se of the five is a lav unto itself. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you don't stop in between and you do a continuous action with one Asra, you're only chayav one, because he integrates all five peos into the same identical lav. Then the Mishnah says, Eino chayav ad shiyitlenu bitar, you have to remove the pas zekonim with a razor, Tanu Rabban, we learned in a brisa. The pasuk says, regarding kohanim, in Vayikra chafal upas zekonim lo yigalechu, yachal, I might think, afilu gilcho, even if he shaves his beard b'mis parayim with scissors, or maybe our shavers are like scissors, is yehe chayv, I might think, yehe malchus for such thing, tabad lomar, lo sashchis, the Torah says, lo sashchis is pas zekoncha, meaning you only violate this iser with hashchos. Hashchos means you go down to the shoresh, you know, to the root of the follicle, whatever it's called, you know, where the hair grows from. And when he cuts his hair, or his beard for that matter, with a scissors, he doesn't get all the way down to the shoresh, because there's a metal that separates it from the skin of his face. Ilo sashkis, if you're telling me I'm only chayef for lo sashkis, yochal, I might think, im likoto, bimalkate, right? He removes the hair with the tweezers, virahitni, or with this spachtel, is he a chayev? I might think he engenders a chiv malchus. Tamalom lo yigal lechu. We need both hashchasa and giluach. And giluach, shaving, is not usually done with the tweezers or with a plane. Ha ketzad, when Are you chayev for hashchasas zakon? You need both. You have to integrate both conditions. And what do you need? Giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa. So in the case of tweezers, that's not called derech giluach. In the case of scissors, that's not called hashchasa. Heavy omer zetar, the only kind of shave that will fulfill both conditions of giluach and hashchasa is when you use a razor. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. He says afilu katu b'malkeid for a hitni chayef. In other words, he holds that that's also considered derech giluach. It's natural or commonplace to pluck the hairs out of your beard in different ways. So the Gemara says the following: Manafshach, I don't understand. E gomir gzeresh shava. If he's going to equate Yisrael with Kohanim in a gzeresh shava, because in both cases the word peah appears, is liboi, he should require not to be chayv makas tar. And why is he mechayv you with these tweezers, etc.? Ve'ilo gomir gzeresh shava. If he doesn't have this gzeresh shava, is misparayim nami lo. In other words, he should be chayv even if he cuts it down with misparayim. So that means that the p'tur of misparayim is because it's not hashchasa, but that was only addressed to Yisrael. In the case of Kohanim, it doesn't say hashchasa, and therefore he should be chayv. He should be chayav even with misparayim. And it seems that the only chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer is to include the tweezers, which we thought was derech giluach. But what about the halach of hashchasa? Why not drop that requirement if you don't have the gzeresh shava? Liolam gomir gzeresh shava. Kasavar haninami giluach avdi. He does have the gzeresh shava, and you require giluach, but he holds that these kalim also constitute a kind of derech giluach, and therefore you chayav. Now the Mishnah addresses what we call tattoos. The pasuk says, "Vayikri yutes uksoves kaka lo titnu bachem ani Hashem." Says the Mishnah, "Hakosev ksoves kaka." If he cuts into his skin in such a way that the ink goes all the way down, so the Mishnah says, "Kosav velo kikea." In other words, if he just wrote on his skin, without what? Without carving a wound into his body and allowing it to sink. Kikea, or he cut into his skin and he made shapes in his body, velo kasav, but he didn't add the ink. Eino chayev, he's not chayev malchus. Achi yichtov v'yikakea. He needs two elements, ksiva and kaka. Kaka means yichrot es besaro b'makom aksiva vadyo nichnas b'toch acharita. Right, he creates these shapes in his body, and he allows the ink to sink in. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, bidyo ubikchol. In other words, he doesn't have to use ink. He could use kol. Kol is like blush, I think. Again, you look it up in the English, but that's what a woman uses to fancy up her face. Ubechol davreshu roshem, and you can use anything that creates a permanent kind of reshima. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda b'shem Rav Shimon Omer eino chayv ad sheyichtov sham es Hashem. He has to write the name of God. That's the Hava meaning of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to reject that. Shenemar, because it says, Uksoves kaka lo sitnu b'chem ani Hashem. I am your God. So the only Isur according to Reb Shimon, which the Torah prohibits us of making tattoos, is only if we tattoo the name of God into our body. That's going to be rejected in just a minute. Amar le Rav Acha brei de Rav le Rav Ashi. What did Reb Shimon mean when he said, Achi yitov es Hashem? Achi yitov ani Hashem mamish? Does he have to say, I am your God? Amar le lo. That's not what he meant at all. You misunderstood it. Kiritani, but rather the Brisa in the name of Bar Kapar says, Eino chayev, when is he chayev for ksovis kaka? Achi yitov shem avodas kochavim. He has to write or tattoo himself with the name of an idol.
And
so what does the Ani Hashem mean? Shenemar k'sovos kakalo sitnu b'chem Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem v'lo acher. I am your God. And therefore deny me by writing the name of an Avodah Zorah. Omar Rav Malkia, Omar Rav Ado Bar Ava, Osul Ol Yodim Sheyitein Efer Mikla Al Gabi Makoso. Efer Mikla means if you burn a piece of wood and you end up with ashes, you're not allowed to put that ashes on a wound, on an open part of your body. Nation Nireis Kikoseves Kaka. Even though it's not a Rishima in the technical sense, because ultimately he'll be healed, but it's a temporary kind of tattoo, and therefore he's not allowed to do it midirabbanan.
Does that mean also midirabbanan? You can't do normal tattoo, like a temporary tattoo.
I think so. I think that would be the case of Efer Makla Shenires Kikoseves Kaka. Some of these tattoos are so good; they look like a real tattoo. Mm-hmm. Frankly speaking, my boss, I never understood people who tattoo their body. Is that because I'm a Jew?
I don't know.
Even Goyim, I think, find it eclectic, no?
Some of them look cool, I think.
They do? But why do you want to do that in a permanent... Like, you know, if you're doing it for a month or two, you know, it's installed, have a mermaid on your tuchus, okay, fine. But to do it in a way that it's permanent...
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, forevermore. And it's crazy, there are people who tattoo their whole freaking body. Their body from head to toe is one long tattoo.
Then it wrinkles, doesn't even look good anymore.
That's what I don't get.
Maybe?
Your skin's gonna like warp and shape a little bit, and the tattoos aren't gonna look so good anymore.
They're not worried about a chatzitza when you go to the mikvah, I guess. Okay, fine. Omer Rav Nachman Bered Rav Ika. Now, take a look at the name Rav Malkio. Okay, one of the Amoraim is named Rav Malkio. And there's another similar name called Rav Malchia. Malchio and Malchia. Now Malchia is Miloshen Melech, or Malka, a queen. Now this is going to be very important, and with this we'll try to wrap it up really quickly, so that at least we can get to a very nice point at which we could stop. And that is that Rav Nachman Bered Rav Ika is going to give us a list of halachos, all of which he attributes to Rav Malkio, and then another list of halachas which he attributes to Rav Malkio. And this divides up into two sets of halachas. The one that's relevant to us is at the bottom of the list, about the Efer Makla. But let's go through them all. First we have Shpud, and this is the sugya Masechet Beitzer. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that after a piece of meat was roasted. After a piece of meat was roasted on Yontif, you're allowed to roast a piece of meat, then the shpud, which is the spit, right, that you use to hold it over the fire, is mukta. It's called mukta machmas mius. And in that case, you have to just drop it on the floor. You know, put it in some sort of corner. That's one halacha that's attributed to Rav Malkio. The second halacha is shvachos, which means that if a woman gets married, and as part of her nidunya, her dowry, she has four shvachos to come along with her, then she is completely exempt from doing any malacha that she would require to do on behalf of her husband within the framework of a ksuba. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that, and he holds that there's certain malachas that a woman must do, even if she brings in 1,000 maidservants into the marriage. For example, he requires that she be able to knit, right? To knit with wool.
Yeah.
Or weave, whatever you call it. And the reason for that is the batola mevili de zima, that if she's not doing anything and she's just bored to death, who knows what she's going to do with her time. Then we get to Gumos. Gumos is a Mishnah in Nida with regard to Shtei Saros when a girl reaches the age of 12. And Gumos means that even if you don't see the Saros, but you see the Gumos in her body, in certain private parts of her body, those are little crevices in the body that mean that she's already beginning to produce the Saros. That engenders Godless, that's a Simon Godless. All this, says Rav Nachman, is attributed to Rav Malkio. However, bloris, which means that if a Jew is a barber for a guy, when he gets to the bloris is that like ponytail, shomet yodo, you know, he shouldn't go too far. And the shear for that is shear of sholosh etzbos. That's a, he shouldn't enter closer into the middle of the head than sholosh etzbos. And finally, afer makla, which means to put ashes over an open wound, is prohibited. And gvina, gvina, this is a special cheese of what's called base onaiki. And the Mishnah tells in Avodah Zarah that chachamim say you're not allowed to eat this cheese. It's mutabana. And the reason for this is that what they used to do is they used to take lard and smoothen out the surface of the cheese. And these last halachas are attributed to these last three halachas to Rav Malkiya. And if you remember, I told you before that Rav Malkiya is Milosha Melech or Malka. And that's what Rav Papa says over here, that Masnisin u'masnisa, if you look through the Mishnayos and the Brises, Rav Malkiya, you will see that the real Tana here is Shmaitita. And just 1 second, let's just read this again. Rav Papa says the following, that which Rav Nachman told us, that Shpud and Shvachos and Gumos is Rav Malkiya, the first set of halachas, those three, that's wrong. But rather, masnisa u'masnisa, anything that's relevant to a Mishnah or a Braisa, is Rav Malkiya. Not Rav Malkiyo, but rather Rav Malkiya. And that which is said in a Shmaitita, meaning it's only relevant to the statements of Amoraim, that's Rav Malkiya. Now what's the difference? Simonach, Masnisa Malkasa, that a Mishnah or a Brice is called a Malka, it's a Melech, meaning that the Amoraim have to kowtow and submit themselves to the Psak of a Mishnah or a Brice, and that reflects the name of Malkiya. Now the whole Naftimina here is Shvachos. Why? Because Shvachos is a Memra of a Mishnah. And therefore it has to be attributed to Rav Malkiya, whereas Rav Papa said that Shvachos is attributed to Rav Malkiya. And that's going to be the entire difference. My Beinayu, Ike Beinayu Shvachos, that according to Rav Papa, since the law of Shvachos is codified in the Mishnah, therefore it must be attributed to Rav Malkiya, Melech, and Mishnah. Well, Malka and Mishnah. Rabbi Barbaye kapid afilu arivda dikusilta. What they used to do is bloodlet, and it was a very small incision into the body, but nevertheless, he was makpid to prohibit putting these ashes even on that small kind of incision. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says, kol mokum shiesham maka, makoso mochiachalo. He says that this whole chash, that it looks like ksovas kaka is meaningless, he says. Why? Because if you're doing something for medicinal purposes, then the fact that you have this wound is a clear-cut proof that you're not doing it as ksovas kaka. And therefore, if we go back to the statement of Rav Malkiya, again, and it's Rav Malkiya here because it's related to the Braisa. It says, "Asol liyodam sheitein efer makla al gavi makasal." And Rav Ashi is disagreeing with him because it's, if it has a maka, is makasal mochiachlav. In other words, putting the efer makla is a refuah, and therefore, even if there'll be some leftover of the, you know, the impression of the black ashes in his body, but nevertheless it's not nirek kuksevas kaka because it's done for the purpose of refuah. And this is where we want to stop, at the Mishnah of Nazir. We've already seen parts of this Mishnah. How many sets of malchus does it incur if the Nazir drinks many, many different multiple revios of Yayin. Do you require Hasra in between and so forth and so on? So we're on the bottom Mishnah of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and I appreciate that you all participated in the Shia. Thank you so much.
I appreciate
everything. Okay, Refuah Shleima to Max.